We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. That's going to be the text. And the lesson is primarily for young people. The title of the sermon this evening is School Supplies. And you've probably already gotten your school supplies, your things like your pencils and your pens and your paper and your calculator and that sort of thing. But that's not the kind of school supplies that we're talking about tonight. We're going to talk about school supplies of a spiritual nature, some things that you need to take with you when you go back to school. And trust me, I think our kids are going to do it. I think we've got some very good kids in this congregation. And I think it's because we've got some very good parents in this congregation. But young people, think about this, because those who are grown will tell you when you look back, the years that you spent in school are some of the best of your life. At least they can be some of the best of your life. You will make friends that you will remember for the rest of your life, and you will have things that will take place and events and activities that you will remember for the rest of your life. But these years are also very volatile years. As you're going through your school years, it's kind of like you're juggling balls. And some of the decisions that you make are like balls. And with some of these decisions, you drop them and these balls bounce and you can pick them up again and keep juggling. But some of the decisions that you make are like glass balls, especially for teenagers. And when you drop these balls, you can't pick them up again because they're going to break. And there are some folks who are adults now who look back and they deeply regret the mistakes that they made when they were your age or maybe a little bit older, but they can't go back and change it. They can't go back and pick up these glass balls. And the decisions that you make as you get older and bigger are going to affect you for the rest of your life. The things that you're doing right now are going to have an impact on you forever. And so tonight I want to talk about some things. I want to talk about making some good decisions this year in school. Let's look at 1 Timothy 4:12. Paul writes to Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth." And what he means by this is don't let anybody treat your youth as not being important. Don't you live in such a way that people are going to look down on you because you're a young person. But rather, be thou an example to the believers. You are a part of this church. Be an example. Let it be said that that's what the Lord's church is like. You are a representative of the North Charleston Church of Christ. And how you conduct yourself is going to reflect on the Lord's church, especially those of you who have obeyed the gospel and are Christians. And in this verse, Paul is going to list six different areas in which young people should be examples. And I want to take these six things and discuss some of the temptations and the opportunities that I think you're going to have in school this year. Some of these things are going to apply to all of the kids. Some of them are going to apply more to the older children. But school supplies, as you begin this school year. Number one, here's the first point. Be thou an example to the believers in word. In word. Now, that's the first supply, the first thing we want to talk about. Now, when we think about being an example in word, there are a lot of things we could talk about. We could talk about foul language, and we could talk about dirty jokes, and we could talk about lying. But what I want to talk about is this. Never, ever disrespect your parents. Now, somebody says, what does that have to do with going back to school? It has everything to do with going back to school, and here's why. Because when you go back to school, people pick up a lot of illnesses. Kids get colds and the cold season comes, and school is a place where people share viruses and flus and those kind of things are passing around between kids. But that's not the thing I'm worried about. I'm not worried about the infection that makes you sneeze. That's not what I'm concerned about you picking up from other kids. What I'm talking about is this. There's a different thing that's contagious. There's a different infection out there. Because sometimes kids in school will go around and they disrespect their parents. And it has a way of being contagious. You know, you hear other kids and they talk about their parents in a bad way, and they talk to their parents in a bad way, and sometimes you might want to start doing that same thing. I want to say, number one, we need to be an example. Young people, you need to be an example to the believers in word to make sure that the words that you speak respect your mama and your daddy. Never disrespect your mama and your daddy. Listen to what the Bible says. At Ephesians 6 and verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Honor. The word honor means respect. honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, how do I do that? How do I honor my parents? Let me offer some suggestions. Number one, how about this? When you speak to your parents, say, yes, ma'am. And say, yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and no, sir. Sometimes a parent will call their child and the child's response will be, huh? What? And you hear parent, you hear kids and you think, yeah, they're talking to their parent like it's one of their buddies, or even more disrespectful for that than that. Sometimes your parent might ask you a question, the answer might be, yeah. Now, that might convey the same thing as yes, ma'am, but there's a big difference in the two. Because one shows respect and the other doesn't. Number two, honor your parents. Don't whine and complain. You know what some kids do when their parents tell them to do something? They say, why do I have to do that? I don't want to do that. And they whine and complain. When your parents give you instructions, do it. Don't whine and complain. And some kids want to talk about it a long time. Well, I don't think I need to do that because of this or this. You know what that does? It displeases the Lord. The Lord wants you to obey your parents. Number three, never, listen to this, never sass your parents. Now, I hope you understand what I mean by sassing. Sassing is when you say something and you're smart aleck about it. And I sometimes have heard children say things to their parents that it was just awful. Don't ever do that. Number four, don't ever talk bad about your parents to other people. Now, you might be at school and somebody else starts talking about their parents and you might think, well, I'm mad at my parents right now. And sometimes when kids get older, they think it's cool to talk bad about their parents. It doesn't look cool. It looks disrespectful. Young folks, the Lord said, honor your parents. Be an example in word when you go back to school this year. Number two, I want to suggest to you from this verse, be thou an example to the believers in conversation is the second word. Now, the word conversation in the King James Bible has a different use from the way we use it today. When we talk about conversation, we think about people talking. But the word conversation in the King James means the way that you act. It's the way that you live. It's your lifestyle. Now, again, when I say be an example in the way that you live, we could cover a lot of things. I want to cover just one thing tonight, and that is cheating. I think when you start school this year, most of you are going to have an opportunity to cheat. And it's a real temptation sometimes because your grades are important and you want to do well and maybe you haven't studied like you should and I'm not ready for that test. You know, I forgot about it. We all know that feeling when you walk in and the teacher says, take out a piece of paper and put your name on it. We're going to have a test. And it just scares you half to death. Maybe you're not ready for it or maybe I just don't get it. You know, I don't really understand what the teacher was teaching and it's time for the test and I don't have it, but the girl in front of me, she's got it. Or maybe you've got a friend who takes this class before you do, and I'll get the answers from him. And I remember that going on when I was in high school. People would say, well, this person has the class at 10 o'clock. I've got it at 12 o'clock. They'll write the answers down. I saw that done on several occasions. The Bible says in Romans 10 and 17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. That means always be honest. Because you see, in the big picture of life, it's not going to really matter what you have so much as it's going to matter as what you are. Now, that grade on that test might seem like it's so important to you. But you know, what is more important than that grade on that test is your integrity. And that grade might not be that great, but at least it's yours. And at least it is honest. And I tell you this, your parents are going to be far more pleased with an honest son or daughter who makes a C than with a dishonest son who brings home an A. Cheating is shameful and it's not worth it. And one day you're going to look back and those tests are going to seem so insignificant, but the shame of cheating on them is not going to seem insignificant. And it's going to weigh on your conscience. You know, if you grow up and you have money and wealth, people are going to envy you. If you grow up and you're a genius and you're very, very smart, people are going to admire you. If you grow up and you're very powerful, people are going to fear you. But if you grow up and you have good character, people are going to trust you. And that's what you want. Provide things honest in the sight of men. Don't ever cheat. Number three, I want to suggest the third word here. Be thou an example to the believers in charity. Now, charity just means love. But this is a special kind of love because Bible love is different from the world's love. The world's love is based on whether or not I really like somebody. and whether or not they can benefit me in some way. And the way the world thinks about love is they pick out friends that have characteristics that please them, and I only love people who are going to love me back. And if I don't love you, buddy, I really don't love you. And if you don't love me, I don't love you. That's the world's love. But the love of the Bible, Christian love, is different. It is agape love. And it says, I love other people not because of what they are or what they can offer me, but I love them because of what I am. That's Bible love. I'm going to reach out to my fellow man. Now, you might say, is it really an important point to make in a sermon going back to school that we need to love people? And the answer to that is yes. And I'll tell you why. Because children can be some of the cruelest human beings on this planet. Now, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 12, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. It's the golden rule. But sometimes children use words, they use words that are cutting and they're harmful and they hurt other people. There are three categories of people sometimes at school. There are those who say ugly things about other people. Maybe there is somebody who at school who's fat or skinny or short. And then there are those people who say really mean things about them. There's that kind of person. And then you've got a second kind of person, and that's the person who has these things being said about them. And they're really hurt by these things. And you might not even know it, but sometimes they might even laugh it off. But they go home and they think about it and it hurts. And then there's the third type of person. And in between the person saying the insult and the person receiving it is most everybody else. They're the ones who are going to hear these things, and they just kind of go along with them. And they're not going to say anything against it, and they might even laugh a little bit, and they might say, yeah, he is fat, or he is short, or they laugh along with it. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. You need to be a Christian. Don't participate in things like that. Think about Bible love, because that type of thing is anything but Christ-like. Number four, I want to suggest from this text, be thou an example to the believers in spirit. Now, the term spirit here means that I love the Lord from my heart. It means I really want to do what's right. It means that I serve God from the depths of my being. This year, you are probably going to face temptations, particularly those of you who are older, to use mind-altering substances. You'll be tempted to use drugs. You may be tempted this year to drink beverage alcohol. In fact, I'd be surprised if some of the older ones are not going to be presented with the opportunity to do that if you choose to do so. And I encourage you to stay away from that. You know, the Bible says in Titus chapter 2 that all people are to be sober-minded. And he talks about old men and old women and young men and young women, and he says we're to be sober-minded. We are to serve the Lord every day from our spirits. But I'll tell you what will mess that up. Taking drugs will mess up your ability to do that. Drinking beverage alcohol will mess that up. And the big lie about alcohol is that it's all right to drink a little bit. That's what people say. That's the big lie about it. Now, there are several reasons that young people drink. Sometimes they drink because it's a social lubricant. You know, you can party easier. You can converse easier if you've got some alcohol. Sometimes they drink because of experimentation. They just want to find out what it's like. Sometimes they don't like the way they feel inside, and they're hurting. And so they drink to try to cover it up. But I want to encourage you to never, ever drink. Now, somebody says, well, you know, the Bible doesn't say that it's wrong to drink just a little bit. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of things that the Bible does not specifically mention. For example, did you know the word pornography is not found in the Bible? But it is wrong to use pornography. The Bible doesn't specifically say that it's wrong to use cocaine, but we all know that it's wrong to use cocaine. The Bible does not specifically say it's wrong to abuse children, but we know from Bible principles that it is. These things are These things are sins, not because the Bible specifically mentions them, but because they violate Bible principles. And drinking alcoholic beverages is specifically mentioned and violates Bible principles. Number five, I want to suggest that you be an example to the believers in faith. You know what? It is not what you eat, but what you digest that makes you strong. And it's not what you read, but what you remember that makes you learn, and it's not what you profess, but what you practice that makes you a Christian. And this year in school, you are going to have some wonderful opportunities to influence other people by your faith and to defend the faith. This year, there are going to be discussions in classrooms, and people are going to be interchanging ideas, and discussions are going to come up about abortion and euthanasia and different things. And I know that's the case because I remember being there. I remember that happening, and I've had young people tell me these things are still going on, and they're going to talk about homosexuality, and you're going to have opportunity to participate in discussions about these moral issues. And it is a crying shame when there is a young person in the class who is a Christian and it's an open discussion and nobody speaks up for what's right. Make sure you do. Raise your hand and say, I'm a Christian. And there's another way to look at this. This is what's right. And if it's a private discussion, you can do that. Maybe a friend starts off telling a dirty joke and you can speak up and say, wait a minute, I don't want to hear that. Or maybe a discussion comes up where they're criticizing or making fun of other people and you can say, stop, I don't want to be a part of that. And you know, sometimes young people will say, well, you know, you're only in high school once. I'm going to have a good time. I only get one opportunity. And what they mean by that is I'm going to have fun even if it means I have to do some things that are wrong because I only get to do it once. I want to plant a thought with you. I'm only going to be in high school once. I'm only going to be in middle school once. I'm only going to be in whatever one time. Hopefully, you'll only be there one time. But there are two ways you can look at this. You can say, I'm only going to be there one time, and so I'm going to do this even if it's wrong. Or you can say, I'm only going to be there one time, and so I'm going to do what's right. I've only got one time to do it. I'm only going to be there one time, and so I'm going to give it to the Lord. Number six, I want to suggest this. Be thou an example to the believers in purity. That's a school supply. Take it with you when you go back to school this year. I want to talk for just a second about sexuality. You know, every one of us needs to have a respect for the sacredness of sexuality. Because we have been born into a world where people treat sexuality as a thing that they have very little respect for. They treat it as something just for self-gratification. They don't consider it sacred like God would have us consider it. But you know, God made the sexual relationship. There's nothing dirty about the sexual relationship, but He made it for the marriage relationship. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, that there are some things that are works of the flesh. And He describes them: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Now, let's break these down very quickly. Uncleanness, He's talking about things that are dirty, like dirty magazines, dirty jokes. That's uncleanness. It's a work of the flesh. Fornication means sinful sex. Adultery is sinful sex that violates a marriage vow. And then there's that word lasciviousness. We've got to understand that word. And I think we miss that word too much. And maybe it's because we don't understand it. You just don't hear people use the word lascivious very much. It's not a word that you're going to use in your day-to-day conversation. But lasciviousness relates to those things that are related to sexuality, but they are wrong. It's not the actual act of the sexual relationship itself. It's the things that surround it. Lasciviousness is why pornography is wrong. Lasciviousness is why participating in the modern dance is wrong. And chances are you may have opportunity this year at school to go to some dances. And parents, excuse me when I say this, but I have never understood how Christian parents can send their children to go to a dance where they're going to be gyrating their bodies to the beat of music in the front of other teenagers and other young people, and they're okay with that. You know, there's a word for that. It is lasciviousness. And immodest apparel. Think about this. Wearing short shorts in public, halter tops, and things that are very tight-fitting is part of this word lasciviousness. You know, God is the one who made sexuality, and it's a wonderful thing within the realms of marriage. But outside of the institution of marriage, it is sin. Make sure that you make this year in life, this year in school, one of purity. The Bible says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity.